Okay, welcome to Parshas Yisro. This week's Parshas Yisro, such a foundational parsha, is the parsha where we receive the Torah and the Ten Commandments and so on. So I'm going to bring up here on screen some of the psukim, some of the verses in Parshas Yisro. Gosh, where do I do this? Oh, share screen 1 second. Oh, there we are. Here it is. Okay. So the pasuk begins, the parasha begins with the story of Yisro. Yisro, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. And it says in the beginning of the parasha, if you look at number one, by Yishma Yisro, Yisro heard Kohen Midian. He was the priest of Midian. Chosen Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe, as Kol Asher Oso Lekim, everything that Hashem did Le Moshe Uli Yisrael Amoy, to Moshe and Yisrael his nation. Ki Hoitzi Hashem es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Hashem took out the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. Okay. So the Midrashim and Chazal asked the question, by Yishma Yisro, what did he hear? What did he hear? Which in itself is actually interesting because, as the Mefarshim pointed out, what do you mean? Why is this question asked altogether? It says, he heard everything. He heard everything that Hashem had done to Moshe and the Jewish people, that he took them out of Mitzrayim, and so on. Okay, but nevertheless, the question is asked, what did he hear? So there's a Medrash. There being three opinions. Now I'm specifically not starting with Rashi. I'm starting with the Medrash. Rashi has a different approach. Let's do the Medrash first, and we'll share a kliyoka on this Medrash. Medrash says Rabbi Yeshua says he heard the war about the war of Amalek when the Jewish people finished the Red Sea. Amalek attacked them, and a very powerful nation, and they attacked the Jewish people, and so on. So therefore, that's what he heard. He heard about the war of Amalek. Rabbi Elazar HaMudoi says he heard about Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, and Rabbi Eliezer says he heard about Kriyas Yamsu. He heard about the splitting of the Red Sea. So on these three opinions, of course, the Kliyoker asked the question. Famous Kliyoker, he says, "What do you mean? He heard everything. So what's the machlokes?" So he says the machlokes is like this. Obviously, we said the pasuk says by Yishma Yisro, Yisro heard everything that Hashem did to the Jewish people, all the miracles, all the Kriyas Yamsuf, and so on and so forth. However, actually, if you look at the wording of this question, Rashi brings the same wording, right? It says Ma Shmua Shama Ubo. What did he hear that made him come? That made him come and join Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people. In other words, what made him leave Midian and come and join Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people? Says the Kliyoker, this Medrash, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar HaMadoi, Rabbi Eliezer, they have a different reason. Each one says something different of why, what pushed him, what was the one thing above all others, so to speak, that Moshe Rabbeinu. That made that 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 Yisroi was made to feel like he has to come now, leave Midian and join Moshe and the Jewish people. She says like this: Rabbi Yeshua says it's a very novel approach. This that he heard about Amalek. Why? Because he says he heard about Amalek, and then he heard that Hashem said that Amalek is going to be a problem for all generations, and it's going to be a fight between him and Amalek and the nations and the Yidden forever. And Yisro, we learn where did he live? He lived among the Amalekites. We learn that there's a thing that the Yisro lived among the Amalekim. Therefore, he thought to himself, like this. He says like this: if I don't go back to Moshe Rabbeinu, take my daughter to Moshe Rabbeinu, when his daughter was the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Yisro came with Tzipora, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, who were left in Midian when Moshe Rabbeinu went down to Egypt to free the Jewish people. He says, if I don't go back, what's going to happen when Amalek starts to fight again? Amalek's going to attack me. So therefore, I better go and I better take my daughter, I better take her back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he should be together with the Jewish people. And whatever happens to the Jewish people, obviously they'll win the war. That my daughter and my grandchildren will be okay, and I'll join the Jewish people as well. Therefore, be protected from the Amalek, because we'll be with everyone else. But if I stay in Midian, there's going to be an attack on my daughter, Tzipora, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, and my grandchildren, the children of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Lazar Hamudoi says, he heard Matan Torah. What do you mean he heard Matan Torah? So like this, he said he heard Matan Torah, and he heard that when Hashem gave the Torah, He commanded the Jewish people that the men and women should separate for the time of the giving of the Torah, because the revelation of the giving of the Torah was so strong that they needed to be in a complete state of purity, and therefore, as holy as intimacy is, but it still has a certain element of impurity to it and physicality and so on, and therefore they needed to separate. See, they knew if that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be in constant contact with Hashem, which means he's going to have to separate a lot from his wife. And therefore, it could be that he is not going to put in effort and invest effort in bringing her back. So therefore, he wanted to at least give his wife the opportunity. He wanted to give his daughter, Tzipora, says the Kleokra, the opportunity to come and live near Moshe Rabbeinu, live as husband and wife, even though it might be restricted in certain ways, but at least you can live there as part of the family, to be with Moshe Rabbeinu. And he didn't think Moshe Rabbeinu was going to initiate it and put a lot of effort into it, because anyways, he was going to be so busy with his constant communication with Hashem. Therefore, he took initiative and he brought Tzipora back. That's the view. That's why Rabbi Lazar Hamadoi says that he heard Matan Torah. Then comes Rabbi Eliezer. This is a very, very nice chiddush. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. So let's just understand like this. The Pasuk says that Yisro, when he came, he came and he brought Tzipora and her two sons, Achar Shilucheho, after Moshe Rabbeinu had sent her away. So there are opinions in the Midrashim and the Chazal that when Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down to Egypt and he sent her back to Midian, and he says, don't come with me to Egypt, the whole story with Aaron and so on. He didn't just tell her to hold on for him in Egypt, but he actually gave her a get. He divorced her. Now, the Gemara says, Kosher lezavgom kakriyas yamsuf. There's a Gemara that says that shidduchim, to make shidduchim, is as difficult as kriyas yamsuf, a splitting of the Red Sea. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that actually is not. This is not referring to an original shidduch; it's referring to a second marriage. And perhaps a second marriage could be interpreted not as second marriage with someone else, but a second marriage could be this concept we call in halacha of hamachzir grushosoi. Someone who divorces his wife and then takes her back. And that's the, says the Kliyoka, that's what the Gemara says, that's as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? Because what is the idea of Kriyas Yamsuf? Kriyas Yamsuf is like this. Water, when it's flowing normally and naturally, originally, it's one unit. Hashem comes and he splits the sea. He splits the sea. He splits the sea in a way where he makes a division between the oneness of the water. So that's like a shidduch and a divorce. A person gets married, there's a oneness, and then there's a division. So he divorces her. So there's a split in that oneness that exists between them. Once there's a split in the oneness, it becomes very difficult to bring her back again. We find this in Chazal Bechlal that actually one of the chiddushim of Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't so much the sea split, but it was also that the sea came back. The sea went back to its natural state. It didn't want to go back to its natural state. Hashem almost had to force it to go back to its original state. So that's pshat that the Yisrael originally thought, I'm not going to go join Moshe Rabbeinu. He divorced Tzipora, sent her away, so bringing her back is not going to be possible. It's a very difficult thing to do. But when he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard that the sea split, and nevertheless, afterwards, it went back to its natural state, its natural oneness. So he says, if that's the case, it's possible. If it's possible, then I can bring my daughter back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he will remarry her, because Kriyas Yamsuf happened, so this can happen too. At the end of this pirush, as Kliyokra sometimes does, He finishes this paragraph by saying, "Ze pirush yokar." This is a beautiful pirush. It's a beautiful idea, he says, which is true. That the last chiddush, particularly, is such an amazing thing. Okay, that's the kliyot. Now, let's turn to Rashi. Rashi is number three. Rashi says, "Vayishma Yisra Yisra heard." Says Rashi, the same thing as the Midrashim say, "Ma shemua shoma uba." What did he hear? What did he hear that made him come? Says Rashi, "Kriyas Yamsuf, the spilling of the sea, Umulchemes Amalek, and the war of Amalek." And he asked the same question: why these two things? What was that? What was that so important? What was that? Why was that so fundamental? Why was that the Iker, the main thing? I'm going to share with you a piece of a sefer called Sare Alofim. It's written by one of the rabbis, Twersky, that are around today. I'm not sure which one it is. But he sometimes has some very beautiful things in the parsha. And this particular piece I thought was very nice. So I'm going to share with you. And there's a few things we have to understand. First of all, later on in the parsha, we get the Torah. Famous question. Let's see number four here. It says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem, the first one of the Ten Commandments, says, "I am Hashem, your God. Asher hoytzei sicha me'eretz Mitzrayim beis avodim," that I took you out of Egypt from the place of slavery. So all the Rishonim and all the Mefarshim asked the question: wouldn't it have made sense better to say, "I am Hashem your God. You've got to believe in me because I created the world. I made heaven and earth. Why specifically? Because I took you out of Egypt. What's that all about?" Number one. Then he goes on to a thing where we find that what's the first bracha that we make in the morning? We wake up in the morning, we say Moed Ani, that's just thanking Hashem or acknowledging Hashem and so on. But that's not a bracha. What's the first bracha we make when we're ready to, excuse me, to start the day? It's Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushom Al Netilas Yadayim. He says the Rishonim, it's washing our hands, right? The Rishonim argue about what's the word Netilas Yadayim means. What is the translation of the word Netilas? So some of the Rishonim and some of the Mekubalim in particular, the Kabbalists, say that the word Netila means to pick up. It comes from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Vayenatleim, Vayenaseim, he took them and he lifted them. Why? Because Hashem says, and this fact is part of the halacha, we wash for bread or we wash even in the morning. Many people have this custom when they make the bracha al Tilas Yadayim, they lift up the hands. Hashem wants us to lift up our hands. What does that mean? What's the idea of lifting up our hands? Explains. Interesting thing we find about Amalek. When Amalek was fighting against Hashem, fighting against the Eden, so we know a famous thing. Famous thing is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu he should go up on the mountain, and with Aaron and Hur, and Aaron and Hur should help him support his hands. He had to lift up his hands. And when Moshe lifted up his hands, that's when they would win. If he went back to his hands, if he dropped his hands, if he was weak and he dropped his hands, they would lose. So the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah asked the question and says, it's the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu that makes the war or breaks the war. Okay, so it says no, because when they were looking at the hands, they were thinking about Hashem. When Moshe put out his hands, they didn't look upwards, they didn't look towards Hashem, so they lost the war. So he says, what's the pshat in this? Why has it all got to do with the hands? So he says like this: we know that where did Amalek attack the Jewish people? He attacked them in a place called Rephidim. If you look at number five here, the word Rephidim. They were in Rephidim. Rashi brings it down, Chazal tell us, why Rephidim? Because it says there, Sherofu Yedehem Midivrei Torah. They weakened their hands. They became vulnerable. Why? Because when they were in Rephidim, they weakened their hands from Torah. What does it mean they weakened their hands? If the pshat is they weren't learning enough, that means they weakened their brains, not their hands. Says the Chasam Sofer like this. The Chasam Sofer says that when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, what caused that the Yidden should go down into the 49th level of Tumah? He says, what did the Mitzrim do to the Jewish people? He says, one of the things that they did, spiritually speaking, not just physical oppression, but spiritually, They inculcated them with a belief system, which we all have sometimes, and that is that action is not important. What I do is really not going to make a difference. What I accomplish, what I do, is not going to make a difference. How did the Egyptians do this? You know, the Gemara says that they made them build cities of Pisoim ves Ramses. The Gemara in Sota says that actually what they made them do is called Avodas Perech. Avodas Perech means backbreaking work. It's when you do work and you don't see anything come out of it. The Chazal says in Sota that they built buildings. They made them build buildings in places where there was quicksand. So they were building and building, and then it absorbed in the ground. So it came to nothing. It came to naught. Why? They wanted to say, you know what? When you do things, it doesn't make any difference. When Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim, Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim. He came to Matan Torah. Hashem says, "Anoichi Hashem Elokecha asher etzeisicha mi'eretz Mitzrayim." I'm Hashem, your God, who has taken you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. I've taken you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. I mean, meaning, I want to take you out of this mistake that action doesn't matter. Action is of prime importance. When you do a mitzvah, when you do something good, when you do something, even if your heart's not there, even if your brain's not there. Whatever it is, the doing of something is of utmost importance. And not only that, I'm going to give you Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. I'm going to give you a godly power. I'm going to give you godly hands. I'm going to give you a godly potential that when you do something, you should make an amazing impact. You should understand that everything you do has an amazing impact. The Rambam says, he doesn't bring this, but the Rambam says that a person should always look at the world as if the world is in balance on scales, and whatever you do can tip the scale. One mitzvah, one action can change everything. When we do a mitzvah, we're impacting the entire world. That says Chassam Sofer, that's what it means. I'm Hashem, your God. What does it mean I'm your God? When are you godly? I'm making you a godly. I'm your God. I'm putting into you godly potential and godly energy to take you out of this clip of Mitzrayim, take you out of this impurity of Mitzrayim that tried to convince you and tried to talk you into it that there's no greatness in your action, there's no greatness in, there's no impact in the things that you do. That's why when it came to Amalek, when the Eden hadn't learned that lesson yet, and Rafu Yadehem, their hands were weak. Their hands were weak. That's when Amalek attacks. That's when Amalek, who wants to destroy the Jews spiritually, when the Eden have strong hands, when their hands are strong, when they're behaving properly, when they're doing mitzvahs, Amalek doesn't have much of a power over them. When Amalek sees they're coming from Mitzrayim and they're influenced by Mitzrayim. And they come to Rephidim and Rafu Yedeim. Their wangs become weak. They're still under this problem where their hands don't matter much. Then Amalek attacks. That's why it says Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, "You want the Yidden to win, you got to pick up your hands. You got to pick up your hands." And when the Yidden looked at the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when they won. When they believed in the power of action, when they saw how important every mice, every action is, everything that we do. That's powerful. That's the connection between Kriyas Yam, between Amalek and the concept of hands, which, by the way, was also at Kriyas Yam Suf. Kriyas Yam Suf was the idea that they were fully becoming fully redeemed from Mitzrayim. What do we see by Kriyas Yam Suf? That Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem when it says. When they were coming at the sea, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ve'ata horeim esmatcha." Right? They were screaming, they were panicking. Hashem says, "Why they're panicking? Why are you davening? Just tell to the Jewish people they should keep moving. They should go. What does it mean they should keep go?" Says Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ve'ata horeim esmatcha. Pick up your hands, and then stretch your hands over the sea and split it." In other words, you should take your stick. And you split it with your hand. Smatra, horem smatra. Pick up with your hands the stick, the staff. The same thing with Amalek. Pick up your hands. They both came through picking up your hands. That's why by Yisrael we find that what does he say? Mashmu shmo bo. He understood this too. He understood the uniqueness of the Yid. He heard these two things. He heard this concept of Kriyas Yamsuf and Amalek. He understood from there the importance of the hands, the importance of action, the importance of mitzvahs. And that's what made him go. This connection to Hashem through action, through hands. Where do Yidden get this power from? Because Hashem gave them this power through Kriyas Yamsuf and the War of Amalek. And when Yisrael heard that Hashem had imbued them with this power through the lifting up of Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, through the lifting of Moshe Rabbeinu's hands by Amalek, he said, wow, they have such godly hands, they have such godly potential, and their mitzvahs and what they do make such a difference, therefore I'm going. Which, by the way, ties into an amazing thing. That you know that when Yisrael, when we came to the Midbar, and Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu told him the whole history and everything that happened, he said the following words. He said, Baruch Hashem, bless Hashem, asher hitzil eschem miyad Mitzrayim. That Hashem saved you from the hand of Mitzrayim and from the hand of Paroi. Asher hitzil esa'om mitachas yad Mitzrayim. Everything in hand. He saved you from the hand of Mitzrayim, from the hand of Paroi. He took you out of the hand of Mitzrayim. Everything about hands. In other words, he understood that Hashem took them out of this problem to do with hands, the problem in believing that the hands, the power of action, don't make much of a difference, which is why with the first bracha coming back, what we said before, the first bracha we make in the morning is Al Netilas Yadayim. How do we start the day after Moed Ani? We start the very, very first part of the day. We pick up our hands in the midst of Netilas Yadayim to demonstrate I'm about to start the day. What's the most important thing for me to know? The power of what I'm going to do. Everything I do today makes a difference. Everything has an impact. Every mitzvah, every favor, every kindness, everything that I'm going to do makes a huge difference. It has infinite godly power to it to change the world and to make it a better place and to make the world more holy. That's how we start the day with Al Netilas Yadayim. That's just an insight into this idea of the Chumash and what Moshe Rabbeinu heard, and what Yisro heard that made him come. I want to wish everyone a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.
Thank you very much. Shkorach.
You're welcome. All the best, man.